Welcome to the Make Better Photos and Videos podcast. This is episode number 232. And I am Ross.
And I am Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. We both know a really talented lady who loves to experiment with her photography. I was looking at some of her past images and thought that a short episode that would result in some interesting abstracts while being a way to refine skills might be good fun.
I think I know who you might mean.
As always, Doctor, you are incredibly astute.
So tell me about this abstract project that you've come up with.
Well, the very good thing about it is that it doesn't cost much, and you may already have all the materials needed to do the job.
Oh, do tell. I mean, how can we have all the materials? I mean, come on.
Well, the project is sounding very simple. It's photographing water droplets on a sheet of glass.
Huh?
Although clear plexiglass would do if that's what you got.
Okay. So how is that going to be abstract or skill refining?
Well, let's start with what you need to do this little project. And I am confident that you will figure it out. So first, we're going to need a sheet of glass. It doesn't have to be big, and if you are as frugal as I am, an 8x10 frame from the dollar store will suffice to provide the glass.
Okay.
Then you're going to need some kind of background. It can be simple or involved, but the idea is being to create projections that will appear in the droplets themselves. So something that is abstract and colorful, maybe with a lot of different colors, can be a nice choice. When I did my first experiment, I found taking just a screenshot of the wallpaper on my Mac and then making a print of it was ideal. If you own a Macintosh, Apple includes a number of cool abstract backgrounds within the operating system directly. But if you don't have that, you can find a bunch of abstract backgrounds for free on the internet using your preferred search engine.
Okay, so that's two things.
The purpose of the background is to create these projections on these little patterns that are going to happen in the droplets. You're going to need an eyedropper, probably. And I recommend some water sheeting spray like a Rain-X. You may already have that for your car. It's that thing that makes water bead off your windshield. I use Rain-X spray myself to clean the glass on my monitors, my tablets, and my phone because it works and because it's mildly hydrophobic, meaning water doesn't stick to it. Oh, yeah, you'll also need water and some light.
Okay. So let me play that back. A background, some glass, water, eye drop, some spray, and that's it.
That's all you need. Although I do tend to go a little bit further, $3.49 further, because I'll get a bottle of glycerin from the drugstore, and I'll mix it with the water 50-50. It's exactly the same thing I do when I'm making water droplets on flowers. The glycerin holds the droplets together, and they're less tendency to fall apart.
Okay, so that's another couple of bucks. So what are we up to, about 10 bucks total?
Yeah, I think.
Thereabouts?
Thereabouts, I think, is right. Plus, you can use that frame afterwards. You can use the Rain-X afterwards. And the glycerin and eyedropper for other water drop purposes that you may have. So all very inexpensive and all very functional.
All right, so explain to me the setup, please, because now I am intrigued.
Well, it's really easy to do. Put your background on a flat surface, like the kitchen table, for example. Clean the glass using the Rain-X or whatever product you chose to remove any marks, and when it's dry, lie it flat on top of the background, whatever it is. If you find that it's attracted some dust, you can use one of those Swiffer like dust cloth things or whatever you have. It'll save you having to clone them out afterwards. Now, set that glass flat on top of the background, whatever your background is. Now, take your eyedropper and with your water or water glycerin mix, place droplets of water on the glass to make some kind of pattern. Try to achieve different size droplets, but you might find it's more beneficial to ensure that the pattern of the droplets themselves isn't too ordered, because that helps you maintain this abstract look.
Okay, got that. Now what?
In an ideal situation, your light should be coming from the side of the camera at an angle, so any reflection of the light off the glass bounces in a direction that does not go directly into the lens. You can use really any light source. I've used it with an off-camera flash using a small softbox because I want soft and even light, but you can even just use the light coming through a window. Again, very inexpensive.
Next.
Choose an aperture that will give you sharpness from the top of a drop to the top surface of the glass sheet. It's okay, and sometimes it looks better if the background blurs out. However, if you choose a photo as the background, you might want to keep enough depth of field to keep everything from the top of the droplet right through to the background sharp. This is a creative exercise, and there are no rules.
So if I'm understanding this right, so we're trying to get sharpness top of the droplet to the bottom of the droplet. Now, unless you've got a dirty grid droplet on the thing, that's not very much depth of field that you require.
Right. You don't need a lot.
Okay. So you're talking shooting wider apertures rather than narrower apertures.
You're going to check for yourself, but that would generally be the case.
All right. So that explains the depth of field thing. ISO, shutter speed.
I'm going to propose that you set as low an ISO as you can. That's still going to deliver a safe handheld shutter speed. Because odds are pretty good, you're going to be holding the camera over the glass plate, keeping the sensor parallel to that glass sheet. Now, I know some photographers use a boom arm on their tripod for this, but I gotta be honest, I haven't found that to be necessary. It does add cost, and it gets in the way. As I tend to use flash, my shutter speed is going to be 1/250th of a second. So I'm not worried about camera shake, only that I get the droplets in focus. One of the considerations of using ambient light is to get a safe handheld shutter speed, you might have to increase your ISO.
Okay, so I'm thinking that the shutter speed, other than the question of shake, doesn't really matter.
That would be correct.
And the ISO, yes, turning it down for color reproduction is probably a good thing. And so if you have a long shutter speed and nothing's moving, unless you're breathing really heavily, probably that doesn't really matter a whole lot either.
No, the challenge, of course, with the longer shutter speed is as long as you're minimizing camera shake, you're probably in good stead.
So if you have one of those fancy-dancy, well, not so fancy-dancy, but Manfrotto and some of the others make that, like you mentioned, the arm from the tripod that drops down flat and slides out.
Yeah, exactly. That can work
and
very well.
And if you trigger with some sort of either electronic or cable release, well, then, yeah, you can obviate all of that.
That's a really good suggestion, and many cameras today have built-in capability to work with a wireless application.
Yeah. Well, I know. Or put a timer on.
Or use a timer.
Okay. Because I'm lazy.
I know. I was surprised. I pulled out my wired cable release and discovered there's absolutely no place to plug it in on my new camera.
Oh, yes. That's
so. Really? So I had to go to the wireless camera app, which worked just fine.
So that mentions the depth of field, shutter speed. We talked about that. All right. So now what?
Now you make the photos. You might try different camera positions or even different focal lengths and different lenses. Change out the background to obtain different effects. Everything else is working pretty well. The nice thing about this is whatever background you choose is it's going to appear in the drops, but the drops are going to be curved. And they're going to have angles of incidence and angles of reflection. Mm-hmm. So you might see repetition in the drops. And that's going to produce an interesting optical effect.
This is sounding really intriguing, particularly in the location where we are. We're almost halfway through the year and the weather is crap.
True enough.
So if you're going to be inside, you may as well play with something.
Absolutely.
But just mentioning, though, the person we were referring to before, if I remember rightly, she said she used her iPad as the glass.
Absolutely, you could certainly do that.
She was just using, I guess, a screensaver or an image or one of those paint beetle, the sun goes down kind of applications, and she really had some stunning stuff.
And that's a great suggestion that I didn't even consider, being the old fool that I am. But definitely that'd work.
Okay, so we set this all up and we make our images. Anything to consider in the post-processing process?
Well, as I expect that the camera and the lens combination is going to be relatively close to the subject, I would always recommend using whatever your software provides for lens correction. Perhaps increase the clarity and the vibrance. Play with the blacks, whites, highlights, and shadow sliders to manipulate the final dynamic range to achieve different looks. This is where virtual copies are just so wonderful. Sharpen using whatever method works best for you, but try to avoid using noise reduction because you don't want to soften the edges unreasonably. Maybe even choose to add a post-crop vignette of some small amount to focus attention towards more the center of the image.
This is getting interesting, very interesting. It actually sounds a lot more interesting than I thought it would. If we're going to talk about it, I guess I better get going and maybe see what I can come up with. This lady we were talking about and I already have a informal contest going on about your smoke images that you talked about the other day. So I guess if we don't have anything else to add, we'll dangle the bait and we'll call it quits for this app.
I concur. Thanks to all of the listeners to help support the channel, and please do. Please click the Support Us on Patreon button on the website, or if you're a subscriber, in the email that you receive with the episode link. If you don't see that link, just go to the main site of the photovideoguy.ca, and the Patreon button is right there. I want to extend a huge thanks to all the folks who have already become Patreon supporters. If you do shop at B&H Photo Video, please use the link on the main page as it pays a small commission here and costs you nothing at all. Please feel free to submit a comment or send in a question. I read and respond to all of them. On behalf of the channel, we wish you peace and good health. I'm Ross.
I'm Gordon.
And we will speak to you again soon.